Hello, welcome to another episode of High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Jeff, how are you today, man?
I'm good, Sal. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful. I like this setup we got going.
I know, it looks like we're in a bus.
If you're joining us on one of the podcast audio platforms, you got to see on YouTube what we're doing here. We got a new setup. We're down to one computer, but we're getting along just fine. But we got a new guest.
Who you got for us?
Well, we got Christina Dauber. How you doing, Christina?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. That's a lobber, correct?
Lobber.
Yes. Yep.
Lobber.
Well, before we get going, we've got the question of the day. So tell us a little bit about what was your favorite childhood TV show or movie?
Okay. I love this question because I love the nostalgia backed of it, right? Like thinking back to like little Christina and the things that like she liked and things that made her happy. And I want to give two answers. You said TV or
you
movie.
I'm
going to give you both.
All right.
Okay. We've already started the recording, so you can't cut this out.
Okay.
So as a child in the 90s, it was my duty to have a crush on somebody on Saved by the Bell. Like that was just, as a preteen, that's what we did. And I was very diligent in that duty.
Okay.
I watched Zach Morris every morning before school, after school, on the weekends. I loved that show when I was that age.
That's funny.
And then movies, again, child of the 90s. So like in my 30s, I had the burden of like the shoebox full of VHS tapes.
Yeah.
lots of Disney VHS tapes and some other ones. But, you know, at that time, you're like, I'm never going to have a VHS player. And to be honest, I'm never going to transfer these to a DVD like I always thought I would, right? Yeah. I don't even own a DVD player anymore.
Yeah.
But Little Mermaid was my go-to when I was really, really young. And like, if you found me in a body of water during the summer, like I was a mermaid, right? Me and my friends were just like flipping our fins through the water. It was from the time I was like four until now sometimes, right? that was a good one for me.
All right.
Nice.
Jeff, is yours a childhood before the 90s?
Just a little bit. We barely had TV.
Yeah. You had three channels.
Three channels, and you know, most of it was black and white. No. My go-to is always Gunsmoke.
Oh, the classic.
I love the Guns. I still like Gunsmoke reruns.
Yeah, so Festus and
Hobbs.
Yeah, James Arness.
Well, mine was go back to it was probably in the 70s sometime, but The Incredible Hulk. Remember the original with Lou Ferrigno? Yeah, terrible effects and everything.
That's the amazing thing. You can go back and look at those movies now, and it's like, we've come so far, and it's like, well, that was really cheesy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but we thought it was great.
Uh-huh.
At
the time, it was fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's odd that you like Gunsmoke, because that came on opposite The Incredible Hulk on like Friday nights, and I had to I had to argue with my grandparents about if I was going to watch The Incredible Hulk or Gunsmoke, and we always watched the Gunsmoke.
I used to watch MASH too. That came on right after school, and you could watch, you know, you could watch MASH as well. So
I was the only kid that couldn't watch MASH.
Really?
Because of Clinger. Dad said,
"Oh, yeah,
you ain't watching that." And I tried to explain that. Never did. I didn't get to watch MASH till I joined the Marines. All right. Well, Christina, tell us. The topic today is healthcare, and Jeff or I know nothing about healthcare other than we probably need more of it as we get older.
Yeah, we're in the geriatric
we're
stage.
Consumers.
Yeah.
But before we get started on that, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got in the position that you're in now and the career you're in and up to joining us on the famous High Ground podcast.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm excited to be here. I don't think I said that earlier, but I'm excited to be here. I honestly don't think that people expect to work for an insurance broker. And I'll talk a little bit about what I do in a minute. But like, you know, when I was in third grade, I wanted to be an actress. I didn't want to work for an insurance broker. That's not typically on people's people's radar. So I would say I kind of fell into the role. But I'm from small town Kansas, went to K-State for college. They have a pretty big ag program, actually, that I took the business route. That's where I sort of ended up. But currently, I'm an account executive at Lockton in our people solutions practice. So we're an insurance broker. I joined Lockton in 2020, so right after COVID hit. So that was a really fun intro into a new gig. But
yeah, welcome aboard. Go home.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Here, you get to meet everyone, and now you won't see them again for 2 years.
Yeah. Oh my God. Except on a Teams call.
Except we're on Teams call. Yeah. My only interaction of the day where people get to see me. So I ended up in the industry. I worked in another company prior to Lockton, started in 2018, but it was just honestly through an introduction. A friend introduced me to somebody and said, this person has a job opening. I think you'd really like it. I have a history in like recruiting and other sort of HR type things. And when I met this person, I was like, yeah, let's do it. I know nothing about insurance, but I'm really excited to learn. And flash forward to now, I partner with companies all across the country to, I guess the simplest version is that I help them build out their health and benefits programs. So I work with Premier and other companies, and the goal is to find the right carriers and partners for programs that will help employers, help their employees stay happy and healthy and really impact the bottom line. And I mean, you guys already alluded to it, but insurance is confusing. It's complex. It's certainly a hot topic in the news now and always. So I take pride in being able to help my clients kind of navigate the industry.
Well, I got a question. Why is it so expensive? That's probably the easiest question. Was it yours?
Inquiring minds want to know.
We could talk about this for hours, right? And I don't want it to be all like gloom and doom, but the cost of healthcare is definitely impacting us all, right? It doesn't matter if you're an employer, if you're a consumer, you see it in the news, you see it when you go to the doctor, and it's definitely impacting us all, but it's not just costly, but it's complex and there's layers to it. So today I want to like simplify it. Okay. I don't want to get into the weeds. I don't work on Capitol Hill, right? So I don't have a lot of guidance in that area. Yeah.
Well, every election cycle, you know, the politicians are going to reduce our healthcare costs and then they go up.
Oh, right.
Every time. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they're probably going to keep going up at least from the time being. So,
we can end now.
No, there's some good. There's some
okay.
good.
Okay. We're going to hold you to that.
Like what's causing increases in every market right now? That's inflation, right? Like hospitals and providers aren't immune to that. And we also see hospital consolidation and labor shortages, but general inflation right now is 2-3% in the US. And I'm not an economist. I literally Googled that. So it is 2-3%, even if the cost of eggs is a little bit higher. Yeah. but medical and pharmacy inflation is a lot higher. Coming out of the COVID bubble in 2023, it was closer to 10%. With the pharmacy side of that being 17%.
Wow.
So compared to the general inflation. Yeah, right now we're sitting at about like 6-8%, but it still outpaces general inflation and it'll keep doing so. But there's positive aspects to the cost increases, and that's advancement in medical technology. Right. We have AI, we have robotics for surgeries right now, and those can definitely improve efficiencies and improve outcomes, but they come with a cost. That's just the fact of it. And gene therapy, these are like curative therapies that can significantly like transform the way somebody lives or even give them a chance to live. These are in the millions of dollars, and we just didn't have these, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I was at a conference recently and they noted that the cost to have a baby is 350% higher than what it was two decades ago.
Wow.
And, yeah. And like you, the process of having a baby, yeah. I don't think that's really changed, right?
Not for a long time.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Still the same process, probably still similar services, but the cost has gone up that much. I mean, NICU is definitely driving that. One in 10 babies is born premature. But because of the NICU, like babies can be born earlier now and they can survive longer, which like gives families an opportunity to have their family. But I think the average cost I read, it was like something like $75,000 for a NICU baby. But we've seen them in the hundreds of thousands, even the millions of dollars, which is just insane. I told you it's not going to be all gloom and doom. Like, we'll get past these pieces together. but when we think about like the clinical side, right? How are people seeking care? What are they getting care for? That's going to have a really big impact. The cancer is definitely a big claims driver for our employers, and cancer is happening at a younger age. Chronic condition prevalence, the chronic conditions in our country keeps going up. Certainly after COVID, we've saw an increase in behavioral health and mental health prevalence. But I think a lot of that was because some of the stigma to seek treatment, which was removed, which was great. But we have diabetes, we have hypertension. And while there's a medical cost of care for these, it's the pharmacy side, right, that's really driving this. So if you've ever seen a commercial for medication, right, where like the sun is shining, the birds are chirping, you're waving to your neighbors, and like, you don't wave at your neighbors, but when you're on this medication, like you're going to wave at your neighbors, right? It's going to fix everything.
And then, at the end of the ad, they go through all the list of all the negative side effects. And it's like, who would use this?
Yeah, but it causes blindness and death and hearing loss.
My question on the big pharma ads, do people listen to those ads and then call their doctor up and say, I really want to take this drug?
Yeah, who does that?
I mean, it's, I listen, you know what, they come on there and I just completely ignore
them.
Yeah.
But it's like, why do they feel the need to add or, you know, have advertisements about a drug I can't pronounce? I can't go buy it off the shelf. So do people literally go to their doctors and say, I think I need this?
Yes. Oh, wow.
Yes, they do. And that's why they have the ads. I mean, yeah, if you've got like psoriatic arthritis and nothing has worked and suddenly this medication is going to clear everything up, like people do ask. But I mean, the good thing is, like, you know, we're a little bit insulated from the cost of the medications because we have there's manufacturer coupons, there's patient assistance and programs out there to help members get lower cost medications. You have your out-of-pocket maximum on your health insurance, right? Like, that's what you're going to pay. But some of these medications are $70,000, $100,000 a year just for the medication. And again, like, we could dig into, like, why it's happening, but I'd rather not, because I think these cost increases are going to continue, but I think that there are things that we can do about it as employers, as consumers. Like I mentioned, the three of us might not have an impact on what's happening in Capitol Hill and executive orders, but we can have an impact on our own kind of healthcare journey and costs.
Okay.
It seems like, you know, in the old days, you got sick or you had a problem, you went to see your doctor. Now you get to see nurse practitioners, you know, physician's assistants, or a teledoc. You just go online. Yeah. Is that helping bring the cost down, or is that adding another layer of cost?
I mean, I can't speak to the provider scenario and all the different people that you're seeing, but there are lower cost options. Absolutely. Like that teledoc is a prime one. I think the biggest thing is just educating yourself on what your employer has, right? Like, what benefits are available to you. And I think the industry can be really difficult to navigate, and it's confusing, right? Like you said, there's nurse practitioners, there's doctors. It's hard to find even an in-network provider that's accepting patients.
Yeah.
You know, like the access to care is really, really hard. This was a couple of years ago, but one of my friends needed to see a dermatologist, and they asked me, like, they're like, you're in healthcare. Like, I'm like, well, I just work for a broker, but I know a thing or two. But they're like, yeah, help me find a provider. So I went to the website, printed off a list of like 11 providers, and I bring it to them, and I'm like, all right, cool. Just start calling them. And like, people don't want to make a phone call. People don't even want to call to order their pizza now, you know? No. And I'm telling you to call all of these doctors and try to make an appointment. And I left the room. I like gave him his privacy, right? Because he had to make phone calls. Nobody wants to do that. Came back in like 10 minutes later, and he was fuming, but also defeated. Like, he called 10 of the providers, didn't get in touch with half of them. The ones that he did talk to, they weren't accepting patients, or one was, but he had to wait 6 months to see a doctor. Wow. Yeah. And so like, that's a really big barrier for people. I mean, this one has a happy ending because I was like, there were 11 providers, right? Like, you still have one more.
Should have started at that end of the list.
Yeah.
I know, right? Yeah, I started on the wrong side. But that one was accepting patients. And I just knocked my water over. I'm very like emotive with my hand. And so I'm just like,
we're not going to edit that out either. That's staying in.
Workman's comp.
Okay, great. Great. But no, I think it's up to each of us to just be conscious consumers of healthcare, right? Like you mentioned Teladoc, understanding what resources are available, what resources your employer is offering you. And like, when you get that email about that benefit, like, don't delete it. I'm guilty of it too. Because if you don't need it right now, you're probably going to delete it, but like, don't just read it and maybe share it with your spouse if they're on your health plan. You know, maybe they'll find it helpful. I think the other thing that's kind of like a barrier is just going to the doctor can be intimidating, right? Like I sort of liken it to like taking my car to the shop. I don't know what you're going to tell me. You're probably going to tell me that something needs work, and then you're going to charge me a lot of money for what you just told me. So I think that kind of keeps people away. But yeah, with options like Teladoc, right? Like there's some barriers. Like you have to download the app, you have to fill out a survey or something like that. But you know, maybe I can't get into my primary care doctor, and so I can talk to Teladoc within an hour, right?
I actually used Teladoc one time, and you know, I had a sinus infection. I knew what I had. I needed a Z-Pack.
Yeah.
And so I did use Teladoc. It's been a few years ago, but I did get on Teladoc, and it was, like I said, it was quick, it was painless, and they gave me a prescription for
a
Z-Pack.
I think that's good go. Perfect. I do it for the same thing about twice a year, get a sinus infection, and do the same thing with this Teladoc. And you would think that, you know, what can we do to impact it? And it feels like we're using some tools like that would be lower cost for the providers, more convenience mm-hmm. for the consumers.
Yeah.
And everything would work fairly good. But I guess there's just so much headwinds with the inflation and all the other cost increases.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
and there's hospital consolidation too. Okay, let's say I hurt my shoulder and I go to the doctor and they tell me like I need an MRI. Even if they're a smaller provider, they're probably connected to a hospital in some way. So they're going to tell you, hey, you can use this hospital to get your MRI. And we're not taught as consumers that like we can ask questions, right? Like we can push back. You can ask them, okay, what if I don't go to the hospital? Can I go to an imaging center that's going to provide the same MRI? And where a hospital, it might cost $1,000, $2,000, but an imaging center is $600 or $700. And we're just not taught that we can even ask that.
You just go where you're told.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the
100%.
I didn't know there were imaging centers.
Yeah. Medications, if your doctor tells you that you have to take a medication, see if there's a generic available, right? Like see if there are lower cost alternatives.
Hmm.
I mentioned, so primary care providers, you mentioned that you both use Teladoc. Do you have an established relationship with a primary care provider?
No,
I do.
You do.
Yep. The insurance changed. I mean, you had to have a primary care provider, and that's, and mine had always been Dr. Tower in Camelsburg. Well, he worked till he was 90 something. And then once he passed, I had to get a new primary care, and it was, ended up being in the Baptist network of hospitals, not to do a commercial, but, and they're online. Everything is so easy. I don't think I would ever change for any cost. Just because the emails and the interaction, it's exactly like you said, Christina, I don't want to pick up the phone and call the store. I want to see what they have in inventory at Home Depot before I ever drive there. And, but their interaction is just so easy. But, and in all that, I've developed a relationship with the doctor, and he's like, you know, you go in and talk to him. He remembers you, and pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge. That's not only do you have a resource, right, when you need something, but like you also have somebody for like your annual wellness visits and things like that. Somebody just for your care. And like, let's say you didn't have Teladoc, you have this sinus infection. Your primary care provider is probably a lot cheaper than it would be to go to like urgent care, or even the emergency room, right? Like you go to the emergency room and there's $1,000 at least. Mm-hmm. Even if you're admitted or not. So, you know, but I mean, I think we also have to know that not everybody has access to multiple provider options, right? Especially in more rural areas. Not everybody's going to have the same access, but knowing what you have and like downloading Teladoc or finding that primary care provider is huge, because if you're not proactive in that, if you wait to get care, like when you need it in the moment, you're probably going to spend a little bit more than if you had like done your research. Hmm. Employers, you know, may or may not offer a lot of different programs, but I think it's just up to us to know what they are. And like, if you are an employer, I want to jump to that a little bit, right? Like, educate your people. Don't just wait for open enrollment to tell them what benefit, you know, changes and updates there are. Find a way to reach them. Find a way to keep the benefits kind of front and center, because these employer groups, especially Premier, like, you guys do a great job of being really thoughtful in your approach to the benefits that are offered to your people.
We do have a great team, and you know, they're constantly sending out updates. They're good. Available by, you know, quick phone call. They can help you navigate all that. So we are pretty blessed to have a good team that they're up on their game.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And if let's say you're an employer, like, and you don't really know exactly what benefits to offer your people, like, I mean, work with your broker or your consultant to figure out what the best is. And even if you're like, if you have 75 employees, you're a smaller employer, like there are certain funding options that are available that can help save money, right? Like, it's not uncommon for fully insured insurance premiums to be 20%, 30%. And the only option for the employer, if they want to keep their costs low, is to increase the employee's cost or make the benefits less rich. So there are different options out there, like captives or things like that, that you can look into as an employer and just, you know, work with your broker on that. But the, you know, I think the goal for all of us is just, how do we bend that cost curve of healthcare over time when there are so many things that are outside of our control? And I think Premier definitely puts a lot of work into that.
So we rely on you. We can come to Christina and say, hey, you know, this is what our employees need, and as the needs of our employees change, then you tailor fit that to what kind of provider we go to. That's essentially what you do?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, what the kind of provider or the different programs that are available. And I mean, when it comes to programs, like, I think employers are all over the spectrum. We have some that offer really robust, rich benefits, every program under the sun, and then we have some that just don't offer much. I mean, we also have, there are employers out there that, you know, they didn't offer health insurance until the ACA mandated it. We have some that are taking really a more aggressive approach, and they're not offering healthcare at all. They're just offering more of like a reimbursement or a stipend for members to go to the health, the marketplace and find their own benefits, which I don't know if you've ever been on the marketplace website, but it's confusing as heck. Like, it, I don't know how people do it. So like, as an employer, if you're able to offer benefits, just, you know what's best for your people. And I think I've worked with Premier for 2 years. And in that time, it's been crazy, real whirlwind, because your team is doing all the right things, right? I think that the leadership team, the HR team, and Harold take a really paternalistic approach into, you know, what's going to make our employees happy, what's going to make them healthy, how do we help them and their families with all the benefits that we can. So yeah. Are you guys familiar with the different benefits or programs that you guys have?
I sat through enrollment.
Yeah, I did too. That's the stuff I give to my wife.
Yeah.
So I depend on her to.
So you might as well point out some highlights for us, because yeah, we're not good at bringing them up.
We're the podcast team.
right.
And then we do sales on the side.
Yeah, we're only paid to do podcasts.
I know you have other job titles. It's not just the podcast.
Those that's because we asked Harold for a raise and he gave us a new title. So that's yeah.
He never listened to this.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to this anyway. he will this one. I'll get called out.
That he's on. he listens to the episodes that he's on.
We should have had him be on this podcast. He should have been here today.
You're probably right. In hindsight.
Yeah. Then we could put him on the spot and let him start rattling off the benefits.
Well, Christina, tell us some of the things.
That was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, wasn't it? Christina, tell us some of the things that Premier Ag is doing for our employee group.
Yeah, so you have a lot. Like, as far as benefits goes, like I said, your approach to benefits, your HR and Harold's approach to benefits is fantastic. If you want to enroll in medical, you have the option of multiple plans. So you can pick the plan that works the best for you. We've already talked about Teladoc. You have that. You have a cancer advocacy program. So in the event somebody is diagnosed with cancer that's on the plan or their family member, they have a resource that they can reach out to just to help them navigate their treatment plan, to get a second opinion. You know, 25%-ish of cancers are misdiagnosed or misstaged. So that second opinion service is really important, and they help with that. I mentioned imaging earlier. But you have a program where, depending on the plan that you're on, you can basically get a non-emergent surgical procedure or an imaging like an MRI or CT scan for virtually free at different locations kind of across the country. So you have that program. And then, you know, beyond that, you've got your chronic condition management, work perks, discount programs, a wellness incentive, and all these other new programs that, like, you know, we're evaluating for next year too. So you guys definitely set the bar high, I would say.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's good. I think that's good for our employees to know, because, you know, it's labor is always a challenge, and keeping enough labor and keeping our workforce, you know, out there. And when it comes to pay, but that benefit piece, why it doesn't show up in the amount of what you can, you know, spend on your out of your paycheck, that benefit is very important, especially when you need it.
Yeah.
To be able to keep those dollars in your pocket and not have to, you know, spend so much, even though, I mean, it seems expensive, but it could be a lot worse.
It could be a lot worse. Yeah. If you're getting care without insurance, I mean, if you go to the hospital, the bill from the hospital might be $30,000, but after insurance it's been processed and it's paid through whatever carrier that you work with, it might be closer to $14,000, right? And that's just knocked off. Like, that's what you pay for insurance for. And I think a lot of people don't know that. And I think you're right. Like, just knowing what's available, when you are looking at new jobs, right? It's not just the pay. Like, there's so much more to it. Yeah. And like, I just I'm just sort of blown away by your company and the approach that, that the leadership team does take. I think Harold just has like a commitment and a passion for doing the right thing for his people.
He does. He does care about his people.
And so it's just super. He does, and like he gives us all a really hard time a lot of the time, but he cares about us, right? He's great to work with.
That's awesome. We won't pass that along to him. You know, we'll let him make him listen to the podcast to hear that. So,
so what's the future like? What's your prediction? You think we'll have kind of increasing costs for a while, or whether you said about bending the curve down of the increases? Inflation's real. You told us inflation was real to start off with. What's the future look like?
I mean, the future is that the costs will, they'll continue to increase, at least in the near term. Like there's certainly a lot that's happening on Capitol Hill to try to shelter some of us from these increases and you know, trying to make changes. But right now in the near term, like it'll just continue. Medical and pharmacy inflation is just going to continue to outpace general inflation. We're going to continue to see advancements in technology causing those increases. But I also think that we're going to continue to see companies like Premier and including Premier that are taking a more proactive approach to this, right? Not just do I offer benefits to my team, but like what benefits are we offering? Are we getting the most out of it? And just really tapping into like what makes the best sense for their population. So I think that's going to be great. But then, you know, just like I said, educate yourself before you go get care. Like, I'm not just going to go to the store and buy a TV, right? Like, I'm going to do a lot of research that goes into it. So just apply that same research to your own kind of healthcare journey, if you will.
That's a good example. I must have spent hours researching a shop vac, but yet I would just go right to the doctor and go right to wherever they say to go get the next X-ray. But yet I'll look on Amazon and Home Depot and spend hours on a $100.
So you care more about the shop vac than your health? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I got to get the gutters cleaned. Like,
work on my gut. So what's your opinion of what like RFK Jr. is doing with trying to, you know, make us healthier? Is he going to be successful, have an impact?
I don't know. I mean, is any politician successful or having an impact in the certain areas? I don't have a crystal ball in that. And I do think that there are certain ideas that he's like leaning on that I think are really important, you know, food as medicine, that sort of thing. But legislation and changes in the healthcare market, just like in every other market, they definitely take time. So only time will tell. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I know to ask, Jeff. Do you have any other topics?
I don't. Is there any other burning topics out there that you think our listeners and our employees need to know?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered up.
Can you cut our car insurance? That's another thing.
Our car insurance. I don't think she does.
Got a good insight on car insurance?
I mean, that's not my area of expertise. I don't dabble in the car insurance. That's
the main reason I showed up today, Christina. It's like, you know, I bet she's got the key to, you know, making my car insurance cheaper. Okay, then I guess I'm done with questions.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Christina, thank you for joining us. This has been very informative. We do appreciate what you do and your company does for Premier Ag, and it makes a lot of sense. We have financial investors or advisors and everything else in the business, and then we give our customers advice, and it makes sense that whenever you're looking at healthcare to find a trusted advisor and a company that you can work with, and we're glad that you're helping us navigate through all the changes and everything we have with our healthcare. So thank you very much. All right.
And then we'll have you come back and you can give us updates on how you've fixed this and made everything get cheaper. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I'll get right on that.
Thanks, Christina. Well, that's another episode of the High Ground powered by Premier Companies. Thank you all very much.